Chapter 7. There was a text from Ned when Chris left the office. "Let's talk." What could this be now? Whatever soothing resolution, even an inflated one, Chris might have walked out of Dr. Moore's office with, that was now history. What do we have? 2 o'clock Monday afternoon? So we're talking Friday, right? The guy in the pond? Ralph? It was running together a bit, but yeah. By the time it was consummated, that was deep into Saturday morning, so what? 50 hours ago? Give or take? The only saving grace which kept Chris's heartbeat and hyperventilation mechanism in check was, if it's real serious, like life or death, Ned would have phrased it slightly differently. More along the lines of, "We got a problem." Chris still took that deep breath and called him back. "Hey," Ned said, "what shake a man?" "You have a way," Chris said, "of sneaking up on people and brushing it off while the other guy doesn't extricate himself quite as quick." "Not following you. Listen, you got a half hour?" "Okay, you're doing it again," Chris said. "Take it easy. We're good," Ned said. Chris said in that case he might fit it in, and they settled on the pizza place in Hermosa Beach. There was another message, and he could relax now and give it the attention it deserved, and son of a gun, this was Shep. So Chris called him back. "My brother," Shep said, and you could hear glasses clinking and plenty of conversation. Weatherby's busy enough for a Monday afternoon. "You got me nervous," Chris said. "You never text." Not Ned quality nervous, but still. "All's we have," Shep said. "That tenant I found you? Well, it didn't take so great. The relationship." "Ah," Chris said. "So I hope you don't mind. I took the liberty of, I kind of took a page out of your book." "A beat," Chris said. "I don't want to ask what that means." "Yeah," Shep said, "the roof business again. We came to the requisite meeting of the minds." "Holy smokes, I'm not believing this. Honestly, that place, the karma may not be there, Shep. Should we just hand it back to the landlord? I mean, I probably won't ever need it again. Though you never did know." "Are you nuts?" Shep said, "with the upside we got? Do you know the median one bedroom in the city now is $36.90? Chris had seen that the other day. The New York Times picking up the story because it was so outrageous. And they showed examples of that median version," Shep said. "A basement dive off the panhandle and a worse dive in the Mission where everything's security screens. We got a gold mine here, believe me." "If you say so," Chris said, "totally up to you. Sorry for the hassle." "Don't mention it," Shep said. "Wasn't the worst thing. Throw a little tough love around up there. I'll be honest, I seen where you're coming from." Shep said he had to go. Chris felt himself shaking his head at that conversation as he started up the new used Chevy Malibu, and there was admittedly a slight knock in the engine as he accelerated onto the 405, but he told himself, think positive, and you need to get past worrying about a dumb car if you're going to tackle the bigger problems. Had he been that transparent with Shep, though? Jeez. What was that part where he saw where I was coming from? Sure, the list, way back in the beginning, that got some indirect mention over a couple anchor steams across the bar. But had he really related dangling that guy off the roof? Or worse, had someone seen him do it? And word got around the neighborhood and back to Shep. Ooh boy. Ned was all smiles, had the corner table in back, same directional setup as in the crow's nest. Chris sat down and said, "I don't need to look at the menu. These days I either go with the whole combo pie, bring home what I can't eat, and have it for breakfast, or go with the pepperoni calzone." See, now calzones, Ned said. And are you any part Italian or not? I may not have asked you. I'll have to go on Ancestry.com, Chris said. Spit in a cup. I may surprise myself. That was the wrong analogy because it reminded him once again of the ill-fated DNA test and the hacker Mark still waiting for it. Maybe. What was I saying, Ned said? Calzones, yeah. Me being Italian doesn't mean I eat them. I'll eat yours then, Chris said. On a list of cheap eats, Ned said, they'd be near the bottom. I don't care that they originated in 18th century Naples. They're too dry. What's below them? Huh? On your list, Chris said. General Tso's chicken for one, Ned said. Do you know that stuff's not even Chinese? They ordered and Chris said, not to insult anyone and I'm sure he's a friend of yours, but I hope the owner doesn't come over. Oh, that guy, he's a pain in the ass, Ned said. And it was good they were on the same page. The owner, a friendly enough fellow, a trace of a Brooklyn accent, so you knew the food was authentic, but he loved to stroll table to table and talk. And if he got it dialed in at your table on a given night, forget it. Kind of amusing that Ned agreed, since Ned wasn't typically bothered by that kind of stuff, meaning he must have had a bad experience with the guy. What I wanted to go over, Ned said, is the writing assignment. I'm trying to come up with the final scene like Finch wants, but I'm hitting myself over the head. I've worked around like five of them, and one's more stupid than the last. Ooh, Chris said, now I can complete that deep breath. No strings attached. Who would think you needed me because of your novel? Let's not be a comedian, okay? Ned said. I'm serious. You've got one in you. You know it too. Otherwise, you don't show up the other night at Finch's. Well, what's yours? Ned said. You know what? I haven't given it a thought. I'll start working on it about 6:15 Friday night. Rosie okay with hers? Oh yeah, she's got a good one. Takes place in Louisiana. Her character's climactic moment anyway. Healthy imagination on that girl. Chris said, you guys making it then? Or what? Us? Ned said. Nah. She's got her thing going, whatever. And Chandler's trying to get her into UCLA. Not the real thing, but the extension part. Starting with the summer session. Of course, it was Chris who suggested that, but no point butting in now. And of course, Ned's answer, what was going on otherwise, that was a little shaky. Chris said, forget UCLA, maybe. She produces that novel. Finch with his screenwriting connections. Who knows? I agree, Ned said. Be honest, I was thinking that direction myself. For me. But I'm friggin' blocked. Email it to me, Chris said. I'll give you the cold-blooded evaluation. Which ending? Ned said. Your top two. Don't murder me with all five. Okay, thanks. If I could make a suggestion, Chris said. Go for it. Well, I liked your start. A lot of detail. You bring the international element into it. The guy seeking out his roots back in Czechoslovakia. The whole bit disguised as a vehicle to get to know the Pan Am check-in gal. Pan Am's not around anymore. They've been gone a while, Ned said. Whatever. My point is, it's real so far. Keep it that way. You could tell Ned was thinking about those five endings and his face was scrunched up. Chris said, like Chili Palmer and Get Shorty? I'm not saying you gotta portray the main character as a wise guy or something, but use that setup as an example how to keep it real. Ned said, that was Travolta, at least the first one. I would have gone with a young Mickey Rourke. Doesn't matter, Chris said. What I'm saying, the guy comes out here, knows nothing about the movie business, ends up dominating the action, hobnobbing with the Beverly Hills crowd. More like Calabasas now, Ned said. That's where the Kardashians are, Johnny Depp, Jennifer Lawrence. That group. You're pissing me off. Nah, I get your point. Write what you know. More than that, Chris said, give your guy an edge that he doesn't lose. Capiche? Or do I have to call the owner over? Ask him how his week's been going. Ned said that wouldn't be necessary, and they finished up and crossed the street to the long block that they mauled off, meaning only foot traffic permitted, some benches staggered around, outdoor restaurants spilling into the middle of the action, the Hermosa Pier at the end. There was a street musician performing for tips, and he wasn't bad, and he used recorded backup and sang pretty high and pretty sweet. Kind of a modern take on doo-wop, and Chris and Ned grabbed a seat and listened. Ned said, I see what you're saying. My character, he has to sustain it, his act. Yeah, Chris said. Now, mind you, and I've seen it in some of the Donald Westlake books as well, that a minor character could present themselves better than you expected. So don't get locked in, you're telling me then, Ned said. No, do get locked into your main dude. I mean, that final scene you're trying to come up with, it should be all about him, shouldn't it? His trials and tribulations having aired themselves out in the scene before, and now you're leaving the reader off based on that resolution. Ned said, you're bullshitting me. If you try repeating what you just said, it'll come out different. Fair enough, Chris said, but the minor character thing, don't fight it if it pops up, is all. What would be an example, Ned said, give me something. Well, say you got this guy. He thinks his wife's cheating on him. Not presently necessarily, but 2 years ago, there was a party, and the wife and the other guy happened to disappear for a while. Ned said, where do they live, these people? Come on, Chris said, who cares? So the husband, he can't get it out of his system. They're shopping on Christmas Eve. He sees something that reminds him of the wife's infidelity, triggers him bringing it up. What did he see? How do I know? What difference does it make? Stop being so literal here. The bigger picture. Christmas comes and goes, but the guy can't take it. He finally gets up the gumption to confront the other dude. Does the wife know about this? Not sure. The point being, he does find the guy and confront him. The guy comes clean, doesn't deny it, even throws in that he envies the first guy for having a lovely wife. That would never happen that way, Ned said. Chris said, fine, don't write yours that way. But you asked me for an example. In this one, these two guys become friends. Little stiff at first, and eventually they go on a fishing trip together. Bond pretty good. The cheater guy ends up becoming more interesting to the readers than the wife. So the writer, he lets the guy go, gives him free rein. Not letting him steal the show, of course, from the main guy, but right up there. That's not too bad, Ned said. What book is that from? No real book. I made it up, just to address your question. Though Chris was starting to think maybe I didn't make it up, that I saw it unfold on one of those Lifetime made-for-TV movies. They listened to the modern doo-wop guy a while longer, threw him a few bucks, and headed down the block to the pier. Chris said, so I hate to bring this up. Perfect weather and all. I mean, they couldn't design it better for April. You got that right, Ned said, playfully punching Chris on the arm. It took you 6 months to figure it out? Why we live here, you mean? We got the system beat, mostly. Yeah, well, I see they still got snow up the wazoo in Buffalo. Montreal even worse, Ned said. And how about Nebraska? Flooding out of their backside there, and it's not even tornado season yet. Just getting warmed up, Chris said. Yep, Ned said. So no need to bring up what you don't want to bring up. And I wouldn't ordinarily, Chris said, except what's next? What do we got? Beats me, Ned said. Few minutes more. I'll probably take a right head back to the house. How about you? You still hit tennis balls with Chandler? They were in fact crossing the Strand now, which would put Ned right back at the house. And meanwhile, some intense two-man volleyball was happening on the beach in front of them. Mixed doubles this time. Do they work the woman typically, Chris said. I never thought about that. That's what they try to do in mixed doubles tennis. Not as simple, Ned said, because you only get the three hits, by rule. They watch for a while, and a couple of the players vary the serves with old-fashioned underhand jobs, except they were hitting moon balls, way up there. And you could tell when they come down, they weren't the easiest things to defend. Chris said, so what it is, we're dancing around the concept, aren't we? Ned took a minute. Ralph-wise, you mean? That's part of it, but you know what I mean, which is why we both keep changing the subject. Ned took some more time. He said, Chrissy, you're a good man. You've proven it. I'd like to tell you I'm not going to forget it, except I mixed you up in this. Chris took a second himself. Not the point either way. What I'm thinking, I make a return visit to New York. Ned laughed, but it was more of a bad exhale than anything comical. He lowered his voice, even though it was unnecessary out here, and his tone was dead serious for the first time today. And accomplish what, exactly? I don't know, Chris said, just like sweep out the bullshit so we don't have to entertain another Ralph. Ned smiled, but it was thin. At least not before July or August, you're saying? Something like that, Chris said. More like, keep it simple. Let them know two can play the game. Ned focused on the volleyball again, then turned back to Chris. You should put this stuff in your book, he said. I thought of it, Chris said. No one would believe mine, though. How about yours? You're saying, Ned said, the check guy, the reader, already has to suspend belief? First chapter? I think it's suspend disbelief, Chris said, but no. They're with you up to a point, so long as you don't go off the deep end. Keep it real, you're saying, Ned said, and the cream rises to the top. Who do I see back there? Chris said.